where Norwalk comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And welcome back to the show. Laura Devlin joins us. She is, as we speak, still a representative in the Connecticut House of Representatives for the 134th District, representing Fairfield and maybe some other towns since 2015. She was chosen to be the running mate of Bob Stefanowski. She's running on the Republican ticket. She'll be on your ballot November 8th. Laura Devlin, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello.
Hi, Lisa. I am so happy to join you this morning.
It's a lovely morning, isn't it? We need some rain, but thankfully the air has cooled. Thankfully.
That is a great relief, and we need rain fiercely. Yes.
We do. We definitely need the rain. Laura, do you keep a vegetable garden?
I do, and I was listening to you earlier. I have to say this is my worst year, too, and I don't know if it's the lack of rain or just that I've been out campaigning and the lack of attention, but it hasn't been very productive this year.
I know. It's so discouraging, and you don't really know what to do because you don't really know the right amount of water, right? Like, you're always afraid of overwatering, underwatering. It's hard to know.
Yeah, and I'm also a beekeeper, so I don't use any kind of pesticides or anything. So for some of my vegetables, the bugs have won. So
yeah, that's all. I don't use any pesticides, but I will say I've had a nice number of bumblebees in my garden. So, I mean, I'm doing some, the bees are doing what they needed to do, but it's the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is the campaign going, Laura Devlin? What are you finding out on the trail? Talk to us.
So it is super exciting, and Bob and I are out, corner to corner, end to end in the state, along the shoreline, everywhere in between, and we have been for months, and we will be through November 8th, and honestly, what we hear primarily from residents, and old, young, regardless of affiliation, is just the crushing costs of living in our state. And that's why one of the core things that we really want to do when, we get to work for the people of this state is really focus on greater affordability. But people are ready for change, and we're really excited to bring it.
So let's talk about that word affordability, because it's such a slippery word. Affordability in the housing context. Do you approve of the current way that Connecticut is trying to get more affordable housing?
So, affordable housing has always been a need and is still a need in our state. I do believe that the current 830G law that we see quite, impacting a lot of our towns, right, which gives builders basically unfettered access to put anything they want up virtually anywhere, it probably needs to be reformed. And I think we need to have a conversation. I was happy to support a bill that actually was for Hartford that really supported also home ownership, which,
yes,
I think is really important for people,
yes,
especially to build intergenerational wealth. We're making developers very wealthy right now. I think we really need to revisit what our approach is by a state and also really focus on maintaining local control.
Yeah. So, Laura Devlin, do you live in Fairfield? Is that the town you live in?
I do. I live in Fairfield, and I represent both Fairfield and Trumbull and have for the past 8 years.
Okay. So, Fairfield in particular is having a huge hoo-ha-ha about what's going on Umpqua Road right next to the theater.
Yeah, and also the building that was built next to the train station that, it's regrettable that the builders didn't have the respect for the community to even try to make it, blend in. I truly believe many of our towns, certainly many of our shoreline towns and others throughout our state that display some of the colonial history of our state is really an asset for economic development in terms of tourism and other things as well. But when projects like that are so visible, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of what part of town you live in, it gets your attention. And there's a state rep candidate who organized a rally in our town green just a couple of weeks back. Over 60 people showed up at that,
wow,
rally. It is definitely an issue. And I think there are other ways that we could approach this. Our first select woman, Brenda Kupchick, for years was the ranking member on housing and worked on these issues along with our state senator, Tony Huang. So, you know, they have, and Tony now is our ranking member on planning and development where these things are also discussed. So they also have, you know, good ideas that our community should also, I think, be given credit for a lot of the good work that they're doing. But the way the 830G law works is it's the towns are always chasing their tail because there's so much market rate, you know, high rent units that are put in.
And high rent is just like that. It's you come and you go and you come and you, it's not even, you know, it's interesting that as we're thinking about housing, we're chatting with Lieutenant Governor candidate Laura Devlin, 203-333-9422. It's interesting that there isn't this common architectural vocabulary in the zoning regs that a lot of builders might be required to do in some of our downtown districts. Maybe not in every part of a town, but certainly in some of our downtown districts, you would think that there, because there are some places around the country that have adhered to that. And the results after 20, 30, 40 years only enhance property values. People like the way things look in terms of having some classic uniform architecture. They like it.
Yeah. You know, I was in Hartford on Saturday marching in the West Indian parade and then attending the celebration. And as we were walking the streets in Hartford, you could see some of the older buildings that just had such character and charm and then are dwarfed by these, you know, sort of plain, big, now empty sort of skyscraper buildings. So, yeah, I think there's, you know, a lot to cherishing our history.
There is. Laura Devlin, I had Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz on last week, and we got into a conversation about abortion and abortion rights. And the Democrats are saying that your ticket is not as committed as they are to protecting the rights of abortion for women in Connecticut. I would really like to hear your thoughts about specifically, because I know that you voted for the latest statutory codification, and I said as much on the air, but Ms. Bisewitz said that as Lieutenant Governor, you would not be in the same decision-making power as the governor. And I wanted to know if you had had a conversation with Bob Stefanowski in which you were convinced that he agreed with you on the abortion issue. And if he doesn't, where is the schism between the two of you?
Yeah, so, and I appreciate you bringing this up because I did listen to your interview, and all I could think was that Lieutenant Governor Bisewitz was following the same playbook of Governor Lamont of spreading misinformation to the people of our state. And it's really important, and you know from the fight I gave on tolls, we have got to be honest and straight with the people of Connecticut. So, you know, I don't know how much more clear Bob Stefanowski could make his position than the statement that he issued. I think it was even after the leak of the Supreme Court decision that he would not change the laws in the state of Connecticut and supports a woman's right to choose. I have a voting record and I have always been, you know, open about my position. So I don't know how much more black and white that can be made. And I think it's just all an effort to deflect from the fact that people are hurting in this state. And the ongoing spending, even on top of the federal money that has come into our state, that makes it more difficult for families, for seniors to live in our state. The crime that goes unaddressed, particularly in our cities. So I think it's just a distraction from failed policies in our state.
Okay, so as far as you're concerned, if you and Bob get elected, if there is a movement in the legislature to amend the recent abortion rights expansion, it is not something that you would support?
So I don't know what you mean in terms of amend.
Curtail it. That's what I mean, Correct. Curtail it.
Yeah. Correct. The existing law of codifying Roe v. Wade in the state of Connecticut would not change under Bob Stefanowski as governor and Laura Devlin as lieutenant governor, despite the fact that the Democrats like to keep saying that's what would happen. And I, you know, it's really unfortunate that they don't tell the truth to the people of Connecticut.
203-333-9422. We're chatting with Laura Devlin, and she has given up her seat in order to be able to make this run to be the next lieutenant governor of Connecticut on November 8th. 203-333-9422. So, Laura Devlin, so you say, just returning back to the themes that you're hearing from the people when you're on the road and you're talking about making Connecticut more affordable, how does that translate in terms of gubernatorial policy? What's the one or two laws or policies that you're going to enact if you get in that are going to make Connecticut a cheaper place to live? Specifically, what specifically will you do?
So, Lisa, I lost you for a little bit. Are you asking specifically what
you
will do to make Connecticut more affordable?
Yes, yeah, specific legislative or policy initiatives. What will you do?
So there are many things that we can do, right? And we've been talking about this for a few months, and what we won't do is just offer more gimmicks and one-time, you know, sort of promises that disappear. We can reduce our sales tax rate just under 6%, which will ease the burden of inflation for people in Connecticut. We can eliminate Governor Lamont's tax on food. We can eliminate a lot of the nuisance taxes and fees. You know, as a business owner, and to have to, which I did run my own business, and I gave that up, actually, to fight tolls, because I believe so strongly in getting our state on the right track and to stop pulling money out of the pockets of people in our state. But to, in order for a business to collect sales tax, you have to pay to get a license to collect tax to give to the state. It's crazy. There's probably about 200 out of 340 taxes that don't collect any money, but certainly cost the state to collect them. We can also reduce the income tax for middle and working class families by at least a percentage, get to like 4 to 5% income tax. We have a proposal to reform our property tax system that would provide more predictability and, you know, eliminate a lot of the red tape for businesses. The other thing I think that's really important that the Democrats in charge have refused to do is to pay off that $450 million loan that was taken out from the federal government to pay for unemployment insurance. And rather than the state paying that back, they're making the businesses pay that back, even if they didn't have somebody on unemployment. So there are a lot of things that we can do and that we are committed to do to bringing sustained relief to the people of Connecticut. And I think we have a record, at least from a Republican leadership, of showing fiscal management. That's why our state has a surplus, why we have a rainy day fund, and why we're paying off pensions. It's because of the reforms that were in the Republican budget in 2017.
Okay, Laura, will you stay online? Because we're here on live radio and we need to do our business with our wonderful sponsors and come right back. Is that okay?
I am here.
All right, Laura Devlin joining us, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You are a breath of fresh air. I can't wait to hear you again.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
203-333-9422. We're chatting with Laura Devlin, who is lieutenant governor candidate. Let me ask you something, Laura, if you don't mind. 203-333-9422. What's the role of the lieutenant governor in the state as you see it?
The primary role of the lieutenant governor is to oversee the Senate, right? So to preside over the Senate. And in that respect, you know, if there's a tie in any voting, you cast that tie vote. Bob has another view for the role of lieutenant governor in addition to that. And the reason that he chose me was really to have a partner in helping implement his policies and also in crafting his policies. So really working as a team to listen and take input from the people of Connecticut, you know, obviously not be afraid to take any action and to bring some meaningful results. So I'm really excited about the opportunity because, you know, I love this state. I've lost a lot of friends who have moved out of this state, and I want to return Connecticut to a place where everybody can thrive.
You know, one of the things that we have fallen short of as a state has been our goal, and I'm sure that you know this as a legislator, towards harvesting, keeping, conserving open space. We had a goal, I think, of about 600,000 acres or something, and we've fallen significantly short of that. In your administration, is that something you would be committed to?
So I think that is so important. And, you know, in my legislative roles, that is something that actually I had an impact in terms of bringing a joint resolution out that passed regarding open space. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. And I just spent Friday afternoon, I was over at the Jones Family Farm. And
oh, isn't it gorgeous there?
It is incredible. And having a tour by, you know, Mr. Jones, who told me about the history and also his active role in conservation and in securing farmland, because once this land is developed, right, it disappears. And, you know, I grew up outside of Chicago. I've lived in Connecticut over 30 years, but we used to have forest preserves. And it would be like a block size of property that had forested areas. And that's where you could go experience forests. And when I moved to Connecticut, I would be like, you can just go in anywhere. So it's really a treasure of our state. And it's something we need to preserve.
We have a question for you, Trish from Shelton. You're on the air with Laura Devlin. Go ahead, please. Hello? Okay, we'll get you. We'll get you there. Trish, you there?
Here we go. I'm here.
Hi, Trish. You're on the air with Laura Devlin. Hi, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you, ladies. I would like to know how you as candidates are going to help support or help to fight for the windfall protection of Social Security for teachers. I'm not sure if you're aware how it affects us because we receive a state pension, and I am truly blessed for that. But because I am a teacher in Connecticut, and there's only 17 states in the United States, of which Connecticut is one of them, if and when our spouses pass, we cannot get their Social Security.
So that is true. I am familiar with that just from my work advocating for particularly our retired teachers. I'll be honest with you, that's not an issue that we have discussed. I'm sure that I hope I can speak for Bob in this. This is something we'd certainly be open to listening to and understanding more. I do appreciate, what you're saying. Because it has been a challenge, I know. And for anyone who doesn't know, teachers in Connecticut do not get Social Security, nor can they claim Social Security from a spouse because they do receive a state pension that teachers pay for. The state hasn't always made good on their part. So it is a unique model and certainly something that we could take a look at.
And I think it would be an important platform because when you look at the shortage of teachers that we have now, and honestly, I wasn't aware of this when I first started teaching. If you told more kids going into teaching, oh, by the way, and this is the other way you're going to get punished, you may even have less that are interested in caring enough to want to go into the profession. Thank you.
Thank you, Trish.
Thank you.
We have Robbie from Easton holding. Hi, Robbie. You're on the air with Laura Devlin. She's running for lieutenant governor on the Bob Stefanowski Republican ticket. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I would just like to express my opinion, and that is this, and which is never addressed by any politician, and that is this. The reason that people in Connecticut are struggling, and around the country for that matter, is because of the inflation of commodities and services and products, okay? So if you want to solve the problem, you got to go after business. That's the fundamental issue. Unless you go after business, these problems can never be solved. It would be nice if some taxes were reduced, but that's not going to really be a substantial help to the consumer. A good example that should be gone after is the heating oil business in the state of Connecticut, where they have been gouging, where they've had the price of heating oil as high as $6.25 a gallon. Totally unwarranted. It's simply motivated by greed and the fact that government will not step in and control these control this industry. That's what needs to be done. There's not no one even looking at it. I mean, you need to form a committee and take a look at what's going on in that business. The same is true of gasoline as well. The fact of the matter is that that governments can control this pricing, but they don't do it. And that's the fundamental problem with what's happening in this country. Unless you go after the people creating the problem, these issues cannot be solved.
Thank you, Robbie. Go ahead, please. We have more callers on hold. Laura Devlin, how do you want to address that, please? Go ahead.
So I appreciate Robbie raising that, and heating oil is definitely an issue. In the month of May, I received a $1,200 heating bill, and I am scared for what's ahead in the fall, not
me
just
too.
For me, but for
me too.
Middle families, for seniors. But I tell you what, Governor Lamont is making it even more expensive in Connecticut by not repealing the highway use tax that is scheduled to go into effect on January 1st. That is going to cost the transport of that even higher. The diesel tax, a 23% increase, is going to impact that cost because it's, again, transportation. So there are things that we can do in the state as well, besides, you know, policies out of Washington are in state control. But there are other things we can do to help make things more affordable.
But I think Robbie's point, and then we'll go to another call. I think Robbie's point, Ms. Devlin, is that the money that an individual sector, for example, the record high oil profits that we've seen, you know, that goes into the coffers of the shareholders of that company. When the state taxes every an industry a little bit, at least it goes back into social services for all the people of the state. When Exxon decides that they're going to raise oil prices, only the people who work for Exxon, or not even the people who work there, but the people who own a piece of it, benefit. So there's a difference between when the government as a society decides we're going to tax something and then spread the wealth among welfare recipients, among people who need food stamps to subsidize our hospitals, to make our highways better, versus a particular company where it's all with a particular shareholder. I just think it goes into a different pocket. I mean, it's a larger conversation about capitalism, but I think it's apples and oranges to me anyway.
Well, that is fair, although I don't think we need to keep grabbing more money from the people
okay.
of the state of Connecticut.
Well, that's a philosophy. Let's go to another caller. Kachka, is that right, Andrew?
Kasha.
Kasha. Hi, Kasha. Welcome.
You?
Hello. Welcome.
As they say in Polish, dzień dobry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, two things. Number one, we'll start with the easy one. I am... As a Polsky, I am very disappointed in Mr. Stefanowski allowing those ads that come at him for being undeserving to be a governor because whatever reasons they give. I find that really, and he does nothing. He runs nothing to counter all this whatever that's being promulgated by these other people. I don't know why he doesn't stand up and run an ad. I heard he got a new person to do his campaigning. I haven't seen anything that changed anything. Number two, teacher pension. I was a teacher, but I left the profession. I just didn't like the direction it was going, and I feel that they need to really step it up in terms of expectations in schools, and we can start in Norwalk because that's a big one. I did work in Norwalk for a little while. I just find that the coddling that goes on is really shutting people off. Okay,
Kasha, we're running out of time. Laura Devlin, let me give you the last word. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, thank you. And in terms of the ads, Tash, first of all, thank you for teaching. My mother was a teacher, too. And
mine, too.
It's a great profession, and thank you for doing that. Related to the ads that have run, you know, what that shows that there is change coming to Connecticut, because those ads are coming from the Democrat Governors Association, and it's the first time ever they are putting money in the middle of summer in a deep blue state because they know that come November, Bob Stefanowski will be voted as our new governor. I look forward to being his lieutenant governor, and we will bring positive change to our state and work for the people of Connecticut.
Thank you very much, Laura Devlin. Thank you so much for spending time with us and taking our calls. We look forward to having you back, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Laura Devlin on the Lisa Wexler Show here on WICC. 203-333-9422 is our number. We'll be back for the next hour. Tony Wong may drop in on us because he is currently participating in, if not presiding over, this insurance hearing with respect to very, very high premium requests. I'm going to want to hear about that if he can make time to call in. We're going to address a whole bunch of other news topics of interest to you. Stay tuned for more of the Lisa Wexler Show right after this.